Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Nothing like another hour of conversation. Doug Steffen, Jennifer Horn, Kara Schilling. I've done it before, and I can do it again. I've done this once or twice, as Jennifer said. I'm trying to boost my confidence. I need confidence boosters today. I understand that if you do the things you fear to do, the fear will go away and you'll be more confident. Have you ever found that to be the case, Kara or Jennifer, that you have been afraid to do something and yet you did it and then you found it was? It's kind of like worrying. When you worry about things, what, 95% or 94% of all the things you worry about never come to pass anyway, so.
Yeah, it's never as bad as you think.
I used to hate talking on the phone with people. I would put off calling people that I needed to or doctors to make appointments, and then eventually I got to the point where I would just make myself do it, and I realized it was way, way easier and caused way less stress if you just did it and got it over with.
Well, I think the point would be there with that example, that if you fear making a mistake, if you do it, then you've rehearsed yourself. And even if you do make a mistake, you know what not to do the next time. So you'll be successful next time you do it. I think that can be applied in any way. I find it more in life and love than anything else. Self-confidence comes from what you think of yourself, not what other people think of you. A lot of people are all worked up about, well, what'll he think of me if it's not? It doesn't make any difference what they think of you. What do you think?
Well, I think the biggest issue is that people think that what other people are thinking about them, it's actually a self-reflection of what you think about yourself. Other people are not thinking about you. Other people don't care.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Mirror, 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 mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? In terms of relationships, I have these times, these moments of reflection that I go through regarding relationships. I've done this all my life. I found an overview, some research done by some folks at the National University, led by a prof named Sandy Lim, found that when people have hostile experiences at work, they're more likely to be angry and withdrawn when they go home. So if you work with jerks, it could be screwing up your relationship. There was a study of 56 different couples, their emotional states, online survey that they took before they went to work and when they got home. How'd you feel when you left? I felt great. Went to work. I'm working with jerks. Got home. I feel terrible. So if you're in a hostile work experience, that is, maybe somebody you work with condescending to you, they put you down, they don't like you, they talk about you behind your back, they're backstabbers, whatever, you're going to be much less pleasant when you get home. I think that stands to reason.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you're like Jennifer and you live alone, or like me and I live alone, who am I gonna be upset about or with?
I talk to the cat. I get really mad at the cat.
I don't even have that. The anger that you direct toward the aggressiveness of you direct toward your partner, or even maybe you keep it inside and it eats away at you, the stress there. The findings show that the experience of incivility was related to feelings of hostility, and I don't think that's a heavy stretch. When what you've got going on here, family members who don't understand why you're angry, they don't know what's going on at work. And why should they? You should leave work at work. But how many people do that? You don't do that now because of social media.
Yeah, you take it everywhere.
You take it everywhere.
Well, yeah, have you ever had that where, not even with yourself, but you have a significant other or a parent or a sibling or a roommate come home and they've had a terrible day at work and all they want to do is they're just venting, and then because they're venting, you get stressed out? I mean, I can definitely see how that would have a bad impact on relationships.
Yeah. Hostile environments at work, so get out of them. You want, what's more important, your work or your relationship at home? Most people, if they've got any brains, will tell you that it's the relationship they have with a loved one at home, not at work, unless you work with somebody that you live with, which is a high risk.
That's not a good idea.
That's a high risk deal in and of itself. But a lot of people in this survey said that they know they have abuse issues with their partner. Time pressure leads to emotional exhaustion. They're not sharing things with their partner. And then they you get angry, and then that partner gets angry with you. And it can be, I mean, look at all the numbers of divorces and separations and relationships that end sometimes over what seems to be nothing. But if you're working around people that are nuts, or they're just plain bad people, go find another job. Better to do that. Please don't go on welfare. But better to go and do that than to put your, unless you don't care about your spouse. And then if that's the case, all right. You can be a jerk at work and at home.
Good for you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that works for you. There's a lot of discussion. I'm looking at social media, Twitter at Good Day Show, Facebook at Good Day, about this crash of the plane over in Dubai. It was a Boeing 777, 282 people on the plane, 18 crew members. Apparently, nobody got killed. But if you look at the video of this, this is, again, more drama. And it'll be breaking news, and everybody will see the smoke. The explosion, the plane hits the ground, the front of it explodes. And then the billowing smoke from the burning of the plane as people get off the plane. But as far as I know, nobody was killed.
Yeah, it's pretty unique that you can have something like that and people evacuate and make it off. That's good news.
Well, wasn't that the case? This 777 that crashed in San Francisco a couple of years ago, I think it was an Asiana plane. The pilot didn't know what the hell they were doing. They were talking to each other and the plane was landing, and they weren't even paying attention to the land. So the plane crashed and nobody got killed in the plane.
Well, remember,
a couple of
those
people got run over on the...
They got run over.
Yeah, right. But, there's people... There's always somebody with a video. There was somebody that was taking a video of that plane as it landed, and just as the... And I don't even understand, you know, it's hard to tell by looking at it. The plane looked like it had almost a normal touchdown, and those planes wouldn't explode on impact unless something else was going on. So, there is a bad... It looks like there was a bad storm there. I was watching something on a video that... I love planes. I love to travel. I love the things
you're
that,
a travel geek for sure.
Right. And I love to watch planes. I love to go to airports and just sit and watch the planes, wonder where all these people are going. And so you look at some of these things and wonder how they happen. For example, somebody sent me a video I watched Sunday morning for a little while of 747s landing or not landing at airports around the world because the bad weather. These planes could normally land under any conditions, but because these were in such, the weather was such, was so bad, the planes would touch down, then they'd take off, or the plane would try to be landing going sideways. And you just want to, what kind of common sense is involved in having a plane land in that circumstance? What are you, nuts? Why would you even think of having planes land? Go send them someplace else. But wow, oof, pretty amazing. All right, so anyway, the good news about this plane is that everybody on board is okay. Plane will never fly again. But the good news is the people are okay. 15 past the hour with Doug and Jen.
Welcome to American Biker Minute.
Sturgis.
Name and town.
Andy Cheyenne, Wyoming. Great day to be in Sturgis, South Dakota.
Today on American Biker Minute.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. When Sturgis locals serve lunch.
1974, everything was in the city park. The people of Sturgis would come down and set up hamburgers and hot dogs. What we see today is so different than what it was back in the 70s. Just a lot of fun in the park, and it was pretty crazy.
Crazy.
They'd pull the bus up, and girls would dance on the bus. Sometimes they had to get their husbands or boyfriends out of jail. If they danced naked, that was fine. If they didn't, well, that was good, too.
Object.
Making money.
Bikers.
20,000 people at the most. That was a big crowd.
American Biker Minute.
Everybody camped, partied right there at City Park.
Your passport to the open road on two wheels.
Think green. Manhattan Project scientists speak about the true safety of nuclear power plants. It's next.
Think Green is sponsored by Service Magic. Furnace need repair? House need cleaning? Get access to top-rated remodelers, handymen, roofers, and more. Log on to renovatenow.servicemagic.com. That's renovatenow.servicemagic.com. Harrison with you. Governments regulate risky industrial systems such as nuclear power plants in hopes of making them less risky. Recent history is rife with major disasters accompanied by failed regulation, ignored warnings, and commonplace human error. Normal accidents will inevitably occur in these complex, tightly coupled systems of modern society, resulting in the kind of unpredictable cascading disaster seen at Fukushima. Some systems, like nuke plants with catastrophic potential, are just too dangerous to exist because they simply cannot be made safe, regardless of human effort.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
So what happens when you fill up your brain with useless trivia? You get a surprising benefit. So what happens when you fill up your brain with useless information, you know, like trivia or Star Trek information or even everything there is to know about every sports team in the world? What do you get? A surprising benefit. Here's the brain science of it. Remember how your mother warned you to stop reading all those comic books because you'd fill up your brain? Well, bad advice. It seems the more useless information you learn, the bigger your long-term memory and the easier it becomes to learn to use new things. The more information you have stored in long-term memory, the easier it is to link new learning with old learning. The result? A surprising memory that's the envy of all.
And in your own nerdy way, you're kind of cool.
What's the cheap psychological trick? Useless trivia is a hook on which to hang really useful knowledge. Drop me an email at drbuff.com.
All right, 17 after the hour on the Good Day program. Here's the latest Jennifer's report on the wildfires in California. The season of visitation is at its peak, so this can't be helping travel and tourism. Travel and tourism around the country is, I think, going to be way off this year, and in part because of stuff like this, yes?
Yeah, I think so, especially when you think that it's not just California. It's actually seven of the western U.S. states, California yeah. to Nevada to Montana, Oregon, Wyoming, there, Washington. I mean, these are just, it seems like everything is on fire. But in California, Dougie, the fire that was near my house, the Sand Canyon fire, which was just north of L.A., seems to be pretty much all but out. It's contained. There's little pockets burning, but that's good news.
So, with regard to the weather, I don't know how you're following the fish life there on the West Coast, Jennifer? Fish.
Oh, yes. The Delta smelt are my favorite.
Right. Mm-hmm. Some fish are coping with the changing chemistry of the oceans that may be linked to global warming by setting their body defenses to nighttime levels.
Oh.
So the water in the daytime is like the water at night, it would seem, for some. And so all of this carbon dioxide that comes from burning fossil fuels that's coming back down in the form of acid rain dropping into the ocean apparently is harming marine life. And so they're coping. You see, that's the, I don't know if this is a good side to it. There's always another side. You hear all these people, oh, global warming, my God, the world's coming to an end. Well, Mother Nature provides you and them with a way to adopt. Or adapt. Is it adopt or adapt? Is it an O or an A? Adapt,
I
guess. They're adapting.
Adapt? They're adapting. Oh, they're adapting. Yeah, they
so
would be adopting.
That they're living.
Adopting if, would be if they had little baby fish.
Yes. So now what's happening is that they have changed their life and their routine to act like it's nighttime all the time. I don't know what that does to the social life.
How do they remember to do that? Don't fish only have like a 3-second memory?
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Did you forget?
I forgot. Boom, 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 boom. 21 after the hour.